I found the richest spot on the face of the earth. Wanna know where it is? It's right down here on West 11th. It's a cemetery. Why, under those pieces of sod, I bet there's masterpiece paintings that were never painted. People's lives that were never changed, words that were never said that could have actually changed somebody's life for fear that it might not be good enough. We took it to the grave. Why, if I could exhume, if I could mine out the potential in one graveyard, I think I'd be the richest man on the face of the earth.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Several years ago, Pastor Wayne wrote a book entitled Dream Releasers. You've probably heard him speak of it. But where did it all begin? How did God uniquely equip him to help others reach their God-given potential? Well, it all began as a child living in Japan, as you'll hear in today's program. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled Dream Releasers.
I want to talk about three things. First, I want to talk about your potential. Your potential, the potential that lies within this room. It's like amazingly crazy. Your potential. Discovering it, developing it, and then in the end, I want to give a challenge to veterans, people that are older in the Lord. The second thing I want to show you is a 5-minute video that we did a couple of years ago, and actually a reenactment of a time in my life when I was in junior high, living in Japan, where God turned everything around for me. And I am today because of what God did in that one little experience. It was a defining moment. And then third, I want to finish with two stories of individuals, people who changed my life. When they had the authority to destroy it, they used that authority to get me going and encourage me on. First of all, let me talk to you about your potential. I'm always amazed at the potential in a room like this. Think about it. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Just this group right here. Just the first two rows on this side. Jesus chose 12 disciples through which he changed the world. What do you think God can do with all of this? If he could do that with this, at least he could change Lane County, don't you think, with the rest of us? Yeah, think about the potential in this room. How much of that are we going to develop? I think the reason we're still alive is because there's potential and stuff in us that God wants to get out. Everything his plan needs, everything this generation needs lies in us, the church of the living God. But our problem is sometimes we don't really take it far beyond just the knowledge of it. But you see, everything God has done in you, he started before time began. Way before time began. Ephesians says that he knew us, he chose us from the foundation of the world. Wow. Jeremiah 29 says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Do you think God has plans for your life? Yes. Your family? Absolutely. I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. Not plans for your calamity, but for your welfare, so that you'll have a future and a hope. What do you think God wants to bring to the world? Future and a hope. And it's going to come through the church of the living God. God started it long ago, but what he did was he put it in seed form. It's called potential. He put it in seed form, and it's got his imprint, his thumbprint is on it. You take a look at Joseph, who was a dreamer. He had these dreams, and even though it was seemingly squashed by his brothers, it came to pass. In that dream was hidden the redemption of Israel. Did you know that? In that dream. And God has placed that in every single one of us. You know, I take a look at people like this and I think, you know, I wonder what's inside of you. I look at young people, I think, I wonder what's inside of you. There's a story, these two miners that illustrate this, how we never develop what God has given to us, and we take it to the grave. These two miners bought this old exhausted gold mine, and they started mining it, but it's really exhausted. But they mined it because they believed that there was something left, maybe a residue of gold, a sliver. And so they kept digging and digging and digging. 2 years later, nothing, until they became the brunt of the jokes of the town. Finally, one day, one miner stuck his pick into the side of the mine, and he hit something hard but somewhat soft. And when he pried it out, he unearthed the biggest gold nugget you have ever seen. They looked at it and dusted it off, blinked a couple times, and then they started singing at the top of their lungs, doing the jig. And that one said, "I am rich. I finally struck it rich." Until this day, no one knows if it was the exuberant singing or just the age of the mine, but all of a sudden there was a crack and the roof of that mine, a ton of dirt, boom, pummeled them to the ground. After a few minutes, you could hear coughing. One man who had the nugget on his chest laid injured. The other guy finally got up coughing and he said to his partner, "We gotta get out of here. This mine's gonna come down." And the one laying there said, "No, I'm not leaving. I came and I found what I was looking for." And the second guy says, "You're gonna die is what you're gonna do." He said, "That's okay. I found what I was looking for." His friend said, "Well, what are we gonna tell your family when you're dead?" He said, "Just tell them I died rich." Now, as silly as that seems, I wonder how many Christians are dying rich with your potential still inside of you. And by the way, I found the richest spot on the face of the earth. Want to know where it is? It's not in the gold mines of the Incas. It's not in the diamond mines of South Africa. It's not even in the uranium mines of the Balkans. It's right down here on West 11th. It's a cemetery. It's a graveyard. You see, in the graveyard, under those rectangular pieces of sod, are people who took their potential and their dreams with them. Why, under those pieces of sod, I bet there's masterpiece paintings that were never painted for fear it wouldn't be good enough. Stories that were never told. Ideas that could have completely transformed our community, but being intimidated that someone might do it better, they took it to the grave. Schools that were never begun. People's lives that were never changed. Words that were never said that could have actually changed somebody's life for fear that it might not be good enough. We took it to the grave. Why, if I could exhume, if I could mine out the potential in one graveyard, I think I'd be the richest man on the face of the earth. I wonder what lies in you. Here's a question. You gonna take that to the grave? You see, God has put potential in every single one of us. And if all of those dreams, as it were, could be let loose, if we could develop that potential in this place, do you know how powerful this church would be? Oh my. Yeah, the gates of hell would not prevail against us. But if we take it to the grave, well, it doesn't matter, does it? It's kind of moot at that point. You see, everybody has one. Doesn't matter if you're young, if you're old, you're a new Christian, old Christian, everybody has one. You say, what? It's a dream. A dream of what we can be for God. You can call it an aspiration, a hope, a secret desire to do something for God. But it's put in there by the Lord himself. But what God does is he puts it in seed form because he wants us to be a part of discovering it and developing it. The Bible says something really interesting. Did you know you were on his mind before the world began? Yeah, remember Ephesians. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And it says also in Ephesians, it says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You see, God prepared these before we were even born. And this is such a beautiful treasure that God put in us. Boy, we find this scripture here that talks about that. It means a lot to God. It's good. It's on your notes if you would take out your notes. And let's read this scripture here in 2 Corinthians 4:7 together. Would you read it with me? Go. "We have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves." What he put into us is so great that when that potential is realized and released, we have to say, that was God. That's a treasure, God says. And God has put it in every single one of us. And the reason we ain't dead yet is because there's stuff inside of you that God still wants out. everything this generation needs lies potentially within us, the church of the living God. And that's why the church is so important in these last days, because if we shut down, what does the world have? God wants us to be the image of Christ. You say, well, how is that done? Well, I just want you to know, first of all, that you are very unique. There's nobody like you. I know other people go, praise the Lord, but there's no one else like you. God has his thumbprint on you, and every single one of us is a 10 somewhere. My wife and daughter-in-law were putting a 1,000-piece puzzle together some months ago, and they got it done after much stress and much consternation, but they got it finally done, only to find that there was one piece missing. My wife checked the vacuum cleaner bag. She checked everything to find out where it was. They lifted up rugs. They could not find it. And I tell you, they were looking around for a dog or a cat that ate it, and they wanted to shoot something right then. And so it stayed there with one hole. And I walked by it each day on the card table, and I thought, you know, no wonder puzzles like that don't come with extra pieces. You ever notice that? Because every piece fits somewhere. And the same is true with you and me. Every single one of us has a coloration, has a dream, has an aspiration, and we fit somewhere. And God put us together, never at random, but on purpose. And we fit together. And that's how he's building his church. And so as you discover what that dream is and find that place, oh my, you're more precious, more valuable than you ever know. Because if you don't jump in and fit somewhere, there's always a hole. And we'll never have that complete picture of Christ's heart for the world. One of my favorite theologians, his name is Theodor Geisel, but his name that he uses a lot is Dr. Seuss. Yeah, Dr. Seuss. He wrote a poem about how unique you are, and I'm going to share it with you. You want to hear it? It don't matter. I'm going to share it anyway. Some of you didn't say anything. It don't matter. It goes like this. If you'd never been born, what would you be? You could have been a rock or a cloud or a tree. Or worse than all of that, you could have been a wasn't. Now, a wasn't has no fun at all. No, he doesn't. A wasn't just isn't. He isn't present. But you're right here. Now, isn't that pleasant? Today, you are you. And it's truer than true that there's no one alive that is youer than you. Shout out loud, I'm glad of who I am. Thank God I'm not a rock, a clam, or a ham, or a dusty old jar of gooseberry jam. I am what I am, and it's a great thing to be, if I should say so myself. Happy birthday to me. You can clap. I thought it was a pretty good one. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. You are so unique, and you are not an afterthought. Before the foundation of the world, God had you in mind. It's like an automobile. An automobile doesn't start on the showroom floor. It ends up on the showroom floor. You say, well, wait a minute, it's brand new. Yes and no. You see, that automobile doesn't start off on the showroom floor. If you trace it all the way back, it goes back maybe several years sometimes to a designer's design shop. There in his imagination, he imagines the best car possible with all of the accoutrements, all the appurtenances, all of the interior, the engine size, everything. And he draws what's in his image on the paper. And he designs it, creates it, as it were, from stem to stern, from bumper to bumper. Only after it is done do they start the assembly line to create the machinery to press the bumpers and hood and trunk, etc., into shape. And when it's all done, it comes out on the showroom and we call it new. But that's when it's born. But when was it really designed? Way back there. Now, the same thing is true with you and me. The Bible says this, Jeremiah 1:5. Jeremiah, when you were yet in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I called you by name. And I consecrated you to be a prophet to the nations. When? When you were yet in your mother's womb. Did you know when God starts is long before we're born? In fact, the book of Hebrews says it this way, his works were finished from the foundation of the world. What does that mean? Well, you see, God, who is the divine designer and the divine architect, had you in mind from the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4. You were chosen from the foundation of the world. You were in his mind, and he imagined the best, most preferred future for you, your family, your relationships. Don't you think God had the best plan in mind? That's what Jeremiah says. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for future and hope and welfare. So you know it's the best. So he thought of you. And what would be the best for Bill or to Steve or Andy or Andrew or Anna? Oh, is she here? And my wife. And so is me. And so he designed all what was best for each of you. Once he's designed it, watch this. He takes that design with his thumbprint. He created you in his image, in his likeness that was in his imagination. He then created you to be the best he could. Now, then he takes that, now you got to watch this, and he crushed it and put it into a seed. All the potential of what he's planned for you is in a seed. That seed is what conceived you, and you, when you were born, you didn't start there. You're beginning, but you started in his divine design room. Did you get that? Now that seed, within that seed is all the potential for your future, all the potential of God's best. And he's going to send his Holy Spirit to guide you, to handhold you, because he wants his best to be fulfilled in your life. But he doesn't want you to take that potential to the grave. The grave's already rich enough. Potential, what's that? Potential is like an engine on idle. It's like a work yet to be begun. It's like a gift yet unwrapped. Your potential is everything that you can become, but you haven't become yet. Everything you can be, but you haven't become that. Every place you can go, but you haven't gone yet. Everything that you can do, but you haven't done yet. That's in this potential. And God put that in every single one of us. And he says, now I want you to discover that and develop that. And just think, if all of that started to come to pass, whew, so how? What is that called? I call it a dream of what we can be for God. That's why the scripture says it in this way. Now to him be glory to the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask, think, or even dream of. To him be glory in the church forever. So the Lord says, you know what? The only way you get close to what I want for you, my plan for you, like you got to dream it up. Got to have a dream. And as you do, you say, you know, I'd like, it's an aspiration. It's a desire deep within you. Now, it could be still under the rubble of past mistakes, fears, immaturities. Maybe it's, oh, I don't want to be corrected. Whatever those things are, that's rubble that we got to get out of the way. Because there's a dream yet under there. And sometimes if we're reticent or we're immature or we're stiff-necked and we don't want those rocks out of the way, that's why that potential goes to the grave. Don't make the grave any richer than it already is. So God wants to release those dreams. Some of you are wondering about that sculpture out front. That's about a time when I was in Japan, when all of this came clear. I was just a junior high kid, and God brought a lesson that I didn't realize fully at the time, but later on, I would. I want to take you to a 5-minute video that I recorded a couple of years ago and a reenactment of what probably took place on that day, which was such a defining moment in my life as we talk about being a dream releaser. Let's take a look. During the 3 years I lived in Japan with my dad, God used various experiences to sort of shape my life. The most poignant of them took place when I was in the seventh grade. This one would transform me forever. We lived near Tokyo in a small complex called Camp Zama. It was an army town protected by guards and barbed wire. On the inside, it looked like any other military compound. It was complete with Quonset huts and soldiers' barracks. But on the outside of this camp, it held the mystique of Japan. I'd always been intrigued by the nation's history, so I was enchanted by these rice fields and the symmetry of them, just beautiful artistry. And at the base of each of these, you'd see these little houses with thatched roofs. I came to love Japan, and I always looked forward to weekend jaunts that my dad would take us into the cool hills surrounding Tokyo, and we headed for the countryside mountains. We wound our way up the side of this mountain where the beauty of the vast countryside lay below, and there it unfolded before us the higher and higher we got. At the summit, we stopped at a lookout point and gave us a breathtaking view of all the neat patchwork rice paddies below. As soon as our car came to a halt, the doors flew open and us young Crederos raced towards the edge of the precipice to get the front row view of this beautiful valley that lay before us. Now, on one side of the viewpoint, there was a Japanese woman selling bento boxes, like lunch boxes. But on the opposite side of her was a man dressed in a traditional short kimono.
How much for one of those birds?
100 yen.
Right? So I thought, it's a pretty good deal for a pet. I handed him a 100 yen coin. I'll take one. And in exchange, he handed me this bamboo cage containing this little tiny bird.
Sumimasen. Excuse. Don't forget, bring cage back when finish.
Huh? Bring back the cage?
Bring the cage back? I thought, I'm not planning to eat this thing. I'm gonna take this home, it's my new pet. And how do you expect me to get it home without a cage?
Oh, you don't understand. Bird, no bring home. Bird, let go. Bird, make free.
That's about the stupidest idea I've ever heard. I just paid good money for this bird, and I had no intention of complying. I thought I'd just scoot to the car and go home. But then I thought maybe under that yukata he had some of those ninja stars or something, so I thought I'd better just comply. So instead of making a run for it, I thought, why not? Let's try it. Nothing I could do. So I went over to the edge of that precipice, and I thought, okay, let's try it. So I slowly opened the door that separated the bird from its freedom. And yet it stayed there, so I started tapping on the cage. Tapped it again, tapped it a third time. And the tiny finch sort of hopped its way suspiciously towards the opening. It suddenly burst into flight with a jubilant fanfare of tweets and whistles. Watched until that little bird disappeared into the clouds. But then I stood there suspended with a new discovery. I walked slowly back towards the vendor, and I returned the empty cage. I took the reverent posture of a young disciple before his sensei. I didn't return home that day with a newfound pet. Instead, I brought back something far more profound. I experienced the joy of being a dream releaser. This one moment, this one incident has traveled with me throughout the years, forever altering my perspective about serving people. If I had even a hint back then of how much that one single experience would transform my life, I would have paid 100 times more for that little bird.
You've been listening to part one of a message entitled Dream Releasers. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. So before tomorrow's program, here's an assignment for you. Spend some time in thoughtful prayer about a dream you have in your heart, perhaps one you thought could never become possible, and then prepare yourself to let go of the doubts, let go of the fear, and with God's help, begin to see that dream become reality. Well, how's that for an assignment? Until next time, for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.